Welcome to episode 10 of the Sports Bible. I'm your co-host, Michael.
I'm your other co-host, Jackson. Happy New Year to all the people listening in. Hope you had a good Christmas. Start off 2022 good. And what's not better than listening to the Sports Bible?
That's right.
Couple things first. Brantford, Laurier, and I'm sure all the schools around Canada and Ontario, unfortunately, have been closed down, including sports. So soccer right now is on a pause until the end of January. Hopefully, by the end of January, we will be able to go back to in-person classes and sports can start back up, because I know there's a lot of fourth years on this team that are looking to finish the Laurier career off strong, and Michael's one of them.
Yeah, bro. It's sad to see where things, you know, kind of been going, especially with the team, you know, finding their identity. You know, practices were getting a lot better. You know, we're spending a lot more time together. Things were coming into shape, and I feel like coming into the new year, we're going to start off really strong, but things kind of got halted there. But, you know, it's understandable. We do hope that we have a season to play. I know there's been a lot of, you know, social media presence with the elite athlete thing, where, you know, the OUA and the OCAA, there've been a lot of discussion. So I think we'll hear some news in the next coming weeks, and we'll go from there. But I do hope I can play one more time before I graduate.
Yeah, I'm, you know, same thing for you, like, and all the rest of the fourth years, you know, like, this is a year that, you know, it's the last year in Laurier, and you want to go out and play in sports and stuff. But, you know, I feel like, you know, I'm optimistic. I feel like we will have a season. I know some of the teachers that during introduction classes last week, a couple of teachers were optimistic of, you know, coming back in class. And so, which really, like, you know, bump up the morale in the class. So hopefully this wave, we overcome it. And by the end of January, we'll see some practicing and playing time. So that's pretty much covers up Brantford and covers up the rest of the big news for sports. Not much to talk about sports now. So we're just going to be jumping in right into the NBA. I know we missed a couple weeks, missed the Christmas Day games. You know, we missed the whole month of pretty much December of Sports Bible. So we're going to get caught back up, and not much, you know, what's stronger than talking about, you know, the biggest one out of all is Klay Thompson's return to the NBA. Yesterday was Klay Day. Mm-hmm. Dropped 17 points in 20 minutes. You know, he looked a bit shaky coming off, you know, after he hit his first bucket, and I feel like he was just trying to hit that three and just forcing shots. But I think once he found his rhythm, he calmed down and became patient. And it's good to see, you know, him back in the league, and the Splash Brothers is back in that Golden State color.
Hmm. Yeah, I agree. Definitely. You could see he was forcing it, but I think it's exactly what he needed to do. You know what I mean? Just get caught up to that game speed. It's been so long since he's played, so I think he was just, I don't even think it was nerves. I think he was just like, when I get the ball, I'm gonna try and do something. It was good to see. It is scary hours though for the rest of the NBA, because like 100%. Like, he could play 20 times better than the way he played. You know what I mean? So I know it's one game. Obviously, I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment, but I'm just saying he did all of that in one game, and he can play a lot better. And Draymond Green didn't even play, you know? So yeah. It's scary hours. It's scary hours.
It is 100%. It's, you know, it's, you drop 17 points and, you know, you didn't even play 30 minutes, play 20.
Right? Exactly.
And they beat a pretty good Cleveland team who was since six in the East. Mm-hmm. And they're coming off a win streak, and, you know, that team's not, you know, they're not easy to beat. You know, they're young, but they have a lot of talent around them, and they had the good chemistry. So to come in there and beat Cleveland, you know, not by much, but still beat him without Draymond, who left the game due to calf tightness in the beginning, and having Klay Thompson on 20 minutes, and he still scored the second highest points behind Curry. So, like that duo is back, the backcourt's back, and once they get Wiseman back in that center position,
I'd be a wrap.
I think so. I think the only threat they have in that West is, you know, I would say Phoenix, but
yeah.
I just don't think. I mean, CP3 is a good two-way guard. You can play defense and offense, so I feel like he can handle Curry. I just don't think, you know, Booker has that defensive capability to stop Klay. I know Klay can't, because Klay's a two-way forward. He's two-way guard, and they have to have five solid defenders guarding that whole Warriors team, because you need someone to stop Klay, you need someone to stop Curry, you need someone to stop Draymond and Wiggins, and then Wiseman gets back. And I feel like it's a wrap in that West. maybe if the Lakers can somehow get into the prime in the playoffs, then maybe. But I don't see it. I think that West is already locked up. You know,
they're sitting pretty much. Yeah, after watching the Lakers yesterday, I was just
yikes.
The Grizzlies absolutely destroyed them. I know in late game, you know, the bench unit for the Lakers, you know, brought them back. I think to a 6-point game.
We only lost by eight. We won 27-119.
Yeah, Grizzlies were up, I think, like 22 going into the fourth, and they brought it back to six. Yeah, so that was good to see, but. I just feel like the Lakers roster isn't constructed well, and we've seen enough games to where I can bash them, you know, like respectfully and disrespectfully. So I just feel like they have no, LeBron is the only one who can run their offense, right? They have more shot creators this year than they did last year. With Malik Monk, with Kendrick Nunn, with Carmelo,
with Wade Ellington.
Yeah, Wade Ellington. Well, I feel like Wade Ellington, he's more of like a...
I know. He's just kind of sit in the corner and catch and shoot.
Exactly. But we've seen now that Westbrook, and we've seen it for years, that Westbrook can't really run a successful offense. You know what I mean? So I just feel like he isn't the answer that the Lakers were looking for. They have their 1-2 punch, but LeBron is 37 years old, and the whole playoffs, I just don't see how LeBron can carry these guys. I don't see it. There's not enough there. And the age thing, it does actually matter. I know in the playoffs, you know, the veteran experience helps, but the league is already young, right? And the energy of the game is so fast, and it suits the way these young guys are playing. So a team like the Warriors is going to, all the Lakers' weaknesses are the Warriors' strengths. So when they match up, it's just a complete disadvantage for the Lakers. And their star power is the only thing that can push them through. But, you know, in a 7-game series, I don't think it's enough for them to win.
I know I'm a Lakers fan, but I'm not gonna sit here and be biased and throw out, you know, dumb takes and but I can't help but agree they're struggling. Even though LeBron's on the tear right now in the past couple games, hitting over 30 points plus per game in the past like 10 games, it's starting to recollect, and it's starting to like bring it back to when. What was it, 2017 Cavs, where he carried him to the finals, and it's falling into that again, where LeBron's he has to take the reins of the offense and the defense. And with this team, he shouldn't, because you think about this team, you think of the stars and the Hall of Famers on this team. You shouldn't have to take charge. You know, everyone should be holding their own weight. But obviously with Westbrook and his past career and his whole career, He struggles with shooting. He struggles with, you know, being efficient and consistent. You know, AD has been struggling with injuries his whole career. Melo's consistent. I think Melo's the only one that I can actually say he's doing what Melo does, and that's pretty much if you come off the bench and putting buckets in the – putting balls in the back of the net or just being efficient, like that's it. But LeBron needs help, serious help. You know, I thought Westbrook was the answer. You know, having that point guard who's a true point guard, he can play on both sides of the ball. Obviously not. He's struggling right now in the purple and gold. Mm-hmm. Right now we're sitting six, but as you said, you know, the league's getting younger, and they're just getting quicker. Like that Memphis team is crazy quick. With Jaren Jackson, John Moran, Dylan Brooks, like that team is crazy. Desmond Bane, you know, you're mm-hmm. having people who are quick and can move off the ball and attack the rim. And you know, we might say that, you know, what about Golden State? Like, it feels like Golden State's been in the league the players have been in the league a long time, but they're fairly, fairly young. I think Klay is only like 28, 29. Curry's only like 33. Draymond's about like 31. Like, that team is right now, though, that team is in the prime, and they've been in prime forever. And then, you know, Phoenix is young team, and Utah's still young. And I think at the beginning of the year, we said, yeah, age won't matter, but I think it's really catching up to them now and how they protect the basket on the other side of the ball, because I feel like they're just not quick enough or they're quick as they should be attacking the rim or defending the rim.
Yeah. I completely agree. I don't think Utah is a serious contender.
No, they're never going to be.
I don't know what it is. I just feel like they never have enough. They just never have enough. The team is good. They play good basketball. But and when the playoffs come, it just feels like Donovan Mitchell versus everyone else.
Yes. They're a regular season team.
Yeah. And it's sad. I know he signed that big deal, so he's going to be there for a while. You know, there's good pieces, but I think they just they need one more star.
Yes.
Maybe superstar. Yes. Yeah, I think a superstar to play with him. Maybe at that small forward spot.
Jaylen Brown.
Ooh. Oh wow, that's a good shout. That's a good shout.
You know, I was playing around 2K, and I was like, yo, let me get Jaylen Brown on the. Jazz and see what happens, you know.
Yeah, that's a good shout. But yeah, they need to retool. Yeah, they need to retool their roster. But moving on to the Eastern Conference, there was also a return of Kyrie Irving. He is now allowed to play in away games, which is controversial in itself. But I think NBA fans appreciate that we're able to see Kyrie Irving play again. The game was against Indiana. They came out with the W after an impressive Lance Stevenson first quarter, which was pretty insane.
Oh, yes.
20 points in the first quarter.
I love it. I love to see it.
Yeah. I believe Kyrie dropped 22.
Yes. Yeah.
He played well. The bounce was still there. The shiftiness was still there. You know, obviously they were still figuring things out, but he looked good. The Nets, I feel like the Nets are kind of up in the air. I know they're still the favorites by the odds and the betting and everything, but I watch a lot of Nets games because, you know, I'm a KD fan. And the offense is so stagnant to me. Like, I don't know if you see it too, but it just feels like it's a lot of KD and Harden ISO. Or Harden pick and roll to Claxton, or kick out to Patty Mills for three. That's like the whole offense.
Yeah, I feel like that's what you're gonna get with superstar team is, you know, the ball's just going to be in the star's hands. And, you know, we saw it again. We saw it last year in the playoffs. It didn't really work out. I mean, it worked out for the first couple teams, but once it got stuck with the Bucks and a team that actually has a really good defense, and the, you know, in seven games, when you versus the same team for seven games, you know, seven straight games, you're going to figure out how to stop their offense and how to read their defense. So, I feel like this got to be different. They got to switch it up. You know, maybe when Kyrie fully gets back and he can play away games, then the offense can start clicking again. Because Kyrie can be a facilitator in the offense. He can run that offense easily. Mm-hmm. You know, so can Harden. But Harden's, I feel like he's still stuck in the Houston way where it was just ISO and him scoring the ball. That's it. He's got to learn to adapt to being that potential third scorer on the team. Because some days it could be – obviously, KD's first scorer easily. Some days Kyrie could be the second, Harden's the third, or sometimes Harden's the second, Kyrie's the third. So he's got to be able to adapt to that being the third or second scorer. Once they figure that out, I think that team will play a lot better and the favorites will be higher. But do I see him making it into the finals? I don't know. There's a lot of good East teams in there that are starting to click. You know, obviously, the Bucks. See, I would say the Bulls, but they don't have enough playoff experience on that team. Mm-hmm. And Philly's struggling right now without Simmons. Boston's struggling. You know, Miami's looking all right. Indiana's struggling. The Hawks, and you know, the East is just it's downhill.
I think it's just between the Bucks and the Nets, realistically.
Yeah,
just because of how strong the rosters are. Philly with no Ben Simmons, you know, no. unless a major trade happens for the Eastern Conference, I think, yeah, the Bucks and the Nets will be top two. If things stay the same and Kyrie's only playing in away games, it's just a very weird dynamic to kind of strategize for or even use for the Brooklyn Nets, because, you know, roles are different, rotations are different. So it's kind of hard to hard to game plan for both sides. So it'll be interesting to see, but just the way the offense is run, it's just not smooth. You know what I mean? Compared to like a Golden State, where it's all ball movement, you know, player movement. Curry's obviously the focal point, but because he's able to play off the ball as well, it makes it so much easier for the other guys to get shots and stuff like that. But with Brooklyn, there's so much, you know, stagnancy with their offense. So I feel like in the playoffs, like you said last year, it just becomes kind of easier to game plan for. You know, KD's going to get the ball most of the time, and you know Harden's going to get the ball most of the time. So you just know you can load up on them and et cetera. So they need to tweak their offense a little bit because the star power can't win you a game every single game. All the way to the finals, right? So we'll see.
Yeah, the East. I think it was I was watching the game yesterday. Like the Golden State was Cleveland, and they showed the standings for the East. I think or something else, and. I was looking at the you know, play ins from 7 to 10. You know. If you're 10th, there's still a chance to make playoffs. I was looking at the whole standings, and every single team still has a shot to make that playoffs. Or was it the West? No, sorry, it was the West. The East, I think, I don't know. It's just shambles in there. The West, every single team still has a chance to make that 10th spot. And it was crazy to me to think that, San Antonio was holding on to that 10th spot at 15 and 25 or something. And the 15th place in the West was like 13 and something. And I was like, they're only two games back and they're sitting last in the West. And it defeats the whole point of making the playoffs. Like, it's crazy to think a team that's almost 10 games below 500 has a chance to claim that eighth or seventh spot in the playoffs. Do I like the play-in tournament? Yeah. It adds that extra bit of competition and excitement, but at the same time, like, it's, you're giving teams that, shouldn't have not made the playoffs, make the playoffs, and teams that who are sitting seventh and eighth who were supposed to be in the playoffs have to still have a chance not to make it. Like, Golden State last year was sitting in the eighth spot and they lost the Memphis, who was like 10th or 9th.
Mm-hmm.
And they won the play-in. To me, it was just like, oh my goodness, are you kidding me? Like, Memphis shouldn't even be here. The play-in tournament, I think we discussed it last time, like a couple episodes ago, hopefully it doesn't last too long. To me, like, I just feel like teams who deserve to make the playoffs, deserve to make the playoffs. If you finish eighth or seventh, like, you deserve to make the playoffs no matter what. You're ninth or tenth, sorry to say, but play better. It's simple. So I was just like, it's crazy how you're dead last in your conference and you have, only two games back of potentially making the playoffs. It was crazy to look at that standing and be like, wow, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah, I saw it this morning how because the ninth seed is the Clippers, who are 20-21. But San Antonio are 10th and they're 15-24. So it doesn't really make sense, but they're still in contention to be in the play-in game. But the drop off is so big. It's true. It's not really like practical. But I guess that's just how it goes. Record wise. So I get it, but it just doesn't look right. It definitely doesn't look right to the eye.
No, it doesn't. No.
Yeah.
Like, Houston's last right now, 11-29. They're only 4 games back at the 10th spot.
Yeah.
And then you go over to the East, I'm looking at it right now. 10th is Knicks at 19-20, and then you have 15th at 7-32. Mm-hmm. Magic. Like, okay, that makes sense, if you're really thinking about it, like, if I'm looking at the 8 seed right now in the East, like, Hornets, so 2019, the only teams that right now have pretty much a shot of catching them are teams from 9-13. That's pretty much it. Maybe you can see even 9-12.
Right.
And then the West, it's the Wolves and Clippers are tied at 19-20, but the Clippers hold that 8th spot. And you're looking at teams who can catch them, maybe 8, maybe 10 to, I don't even know, 12 maybe, like 10 to 13. Yeah. It's just weird to see like a 10th seed making the playoffs.
Yeah. I think, it's definitely going to move around a lot. We're in January now, so yeah, it'll move around a lot. Between, I think, now until All-Star break, things will start defining themselves after All-Star break. So we'll have like a clearer, indication of what's really going on. The East looks more competitive, I'll say. But the latter of the Western Conference is definitely, it's weird. It doesn't look right to the eye.
No.
It doesn't look right to the eye. But speaking of All-Star break, we wanted to present our top five, or our starting five, for the Eastern Conference and Western Conference. I'm going to ask you your starting lineup for the Eastern Conference for your All-Stars this year.
All right, so I was thinking about this yesterday. I was like, okay, I need to have a list, my starting five already. Mm-hmm. I was stuck on a couple of positions here, but obviously, you know, KD's going to be the starting small forward. Simple.
Of course.
You got Giannis playing that power forward position.
Of course.
You got Embiid playing that center position.
Yes.
You got DeRozan playing the shooting guard.
Yes, sir.
See, the point guard position had me kind of tough here because, you know, Trae Young is playing well. Yeah,
fair.
But then Harden can also play point guard.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I was kind of stuck between the two. It was like, is it like, you know, Young's playing well in the Hawks, like, you know, but, you know, Harden's been out with some injury in COVID, and same with Trae Young. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think of who's, you know, point guards in the East that really stood out to me.
You're forgetting one, but yes.
I am forgetting one. You know, like, I'm trying to think of Kyrie. You can't say Kyrie because he hasn't played enough.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm forgetting one. I'm trying to think of the team here. I'm trying to think of a team. My goodness. I got to look at Sandy's real quick because...
He didn't do his research.
Nah, if I see the team, then I'll know. You know, I wanted to put Trey.
Yeah, definitely.
But you see, I'm forgetting one, so now I gotta look. Okay, nah, it's the Hawks sitting 12th right now. I can't, like, you know, like. Lowry, no.
Okay, I'm gonna spoil it for you. All right, so I agree with you.
If I think it's the person, I think it is. Say it. Just say it.
So I agree with your four players, right? Your KD, okay. Your Giannis, DeRozan, Embiid. That's perfect. So I think we can admit that LaVine will be on the bench. Obviously,
yes.
We can admit. Yes. Yeah, we can admit that. Harden will probably be on the bench.
Okay.
I think it's between
Tatum will be on the bench.
Tatum, yep. Lonzo will probably be on the bench.
Lonzo, I don't think Lonzo's not even making it. Maybe LaMelo.
I think it's between Trae Young and Van Vliet.
Oh. Lead.
Because what about Garland? Lead?
What up, Darius?
Garland can maybe make the bench. He can maybe make the bench. Actually, okay. No, he's not making the bench. Because guards will be Harden, LaVine, Trey or Van Vliet, and they'll have one more guard spot.
Bradley Beal?
Nah.
No?
Nah. Nah. We're forgetting someone. But the reason why I say Van Vliet, you've probably seen his tear. So right now the Raptors are on a 6-game winning streak.
Yep.
And Van Vliet has dropped 30 points plus in five of those games. Sorry, four of those games. He's playing amazing right now. There was a triple-double in there. I don't know if you've seen the games, but it's just like he's just willing them to win.
Yeah, he is.
He's our main scorer. He's our best scorer. And he's doing it on very efficient splits. But I feel like because the NBA hates Toronto, that he won't start.
No, I feel like it's Trey. I feel like they're gonna give it to Trey.
Yeah, but if he doesn't even make the All-Star team, which he really should, but let's be realistic.
He should.
If he doesn't make the All-Star team, then the All-Star team should be boycotted, I think, because he's playing better than 60% of the guards in the league right now.
Yeah.
Maybe even more, probably even more, right?
Yeah,
so he has to at least make the All-Star team. But I think because of politics, they're going to start Trae Young.
I don't know. You know, Trae Young is averaging about like 28 right now, you know, and I mean, yeah, the team is sitting 12th right now, and but you know, a lot of the Hawks team were bit by the COVID.
But think about it. Record should matter, right? Because if we remember a few years ago when Bradley Beal was averaging what, like 33?
Yeah, yeah, he didn't make it, which is stupid.
So yeah,
I you know, the All-Star, it's, I hate the fan votes. I hate the fan votes.
Yeah.
Because I'm sorry to say, you know, Klay Thompson should not be the All-Star.
No.
He's sitting fourth right now in voting. In the West for guards. He's in fourth. I don't know if Kyrie's in there. Maybe not. I don't think Kyrie's even in the voting. I'm like, come on, guys, really? Like, you're gonna make Klay Thompson make? He's played one game.
Yeah.
Like, the fan votes are ridiculous, but I feel that guard position for the East is still up for grabs. I don't think there's a certain amount, like a certain person who's gonna fit it in. I feel like they're going to go with Trae Young. That's just me. Maybe they could go VanVleet. Toronto, maybe Canada will rally behind and put him in there. But you think about like the guards you could play. I think the only three players that might fill in that point guard position are Harden, Young, or VanVleet.
Yeah, I agree.
And then the other two, whoever don't get selected, should be on the bench.
Yeah. That's how it should be. Yeah.
Okay, now, what's your West? You asked me East, I'll ask you West.
So, West, center, we're going to go Jokic.
Okay, I can agree with that one.
Small forward, you go LeBron.
Yep.
Point guard, Curry.
Yep.
Shooting guard.
This was tough. This one's tough again.
Who do you go?
You got a lot of good shooting guards.
Do you go Booker? Do you go...
Shooting guard's tough.
It's hard.
There's a lot of guards who...
Oh, there's Jaw too. Ooh.
Yeah, but Jaw plays point. And you also got Luka.
Oh wow! No, you're gonna have to move Curry to the shooting guard.
Okay,
and put Jaw? Like Jaw and Doncic. No, what's crazy about Jaw? It's gonna be Jaw got injured,
and he's still putting up numbers.
Doncic only had like the COVID thing where he missed a bit of time, but Jaw has to start. I think Jaw has to start.
Yeah, he should, sir. He should.
I think you could put Jaw, Curry,
Little LeBron. Mitchell.
No. He's
not Donovan.
Him and Doncic could hug the bench.
All right.
Power forward. Power forward.
West is tough. West is a lot of stars.
West is tough. I'm wondering. Do you think they do something like they put Jokic at the four and then play like Gobert at the five? Or does that make any sense?
They could. Or you could potentially move LeBron to the power forward.
Right.
And you can add another small forward in there.
Yeah.
If you wanted to.
Which small forward though? Because I'm thinking, Wiggins.
Yeah, but dude, I don't know if Wiggins is.
I don't think he should start. He should be on the bench position, but I don't think he should start. Oh, actually, never mind. I know what they're gonna do. They're gonna start Draymond. They're gonna make Draymond start. Yeah.
Okay.
Draymond will play power forward. Okay, so we're gonna go Jaw, Curry, LeBron, Draymond, Jokic. Yeah. We're gonna do that. How about you?
Yeah, see, like mine's similar. I was thinking about like I was like, okay, like I have to have Ja in the starting lineup. Has to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, you can have two point guards just move, searching around a lot in the game, like Ja and Curry. So those are my guards. Small forward. I want to keep Bron a small forward. Mm-hmm. I want to have Jokic in that center position easily. See the power forward, I know Draymond's playing a hell of a season. He's up for defensive player of the year. But does he deserve that certain position? Because I feel like definitely Curry. Like Curry is like that team. Curry's making the wins. But is there another power forward that can fill that role? Davis hasn't played enough. D'Anthony Davis hasn't played enough to get in that spot.
He's the obvious answer. It'd be AD, and then Jokic.
Yeah, but unless you move Bron into the power forward and you put Paul George in a small forward position.
Is Paul George is out, right? He's been out for a while, or is it just COVID?
I don't know if it's. I know Kawhi's out. I know that Kawhi's going to be out for like majority of the season.
I feel like I haven't seen Paul George play in a very long time.
George, he started off,
yeah,
very well. He's out right now. Yes, he tore his ligament.
Ooh.
Okay. Yes. I don't know. Okay. So scratch. if he was healthy, then I'd put George in there.
Yeah.
See, yeah, I might have to go. I might just go with Draymond then. But this is like, I feel like I'm missing, like, it's going to be like, there's so many good players. Like, you get Luka, you got Chris Paul, Booker, and you have Wiggins, and I feel like those are all going to be on the bench. But
yeah.
But the certainties, as long as we have the certainties starting, like, then I'm happy, But yeah.
And so they might even do. They might even do the captain's thing again, right? So
yeah, they definitely will. I think it's gonna be Curry and Durant.
Yeah.
And if it's like, what we can do?
What's up?
We have our starting people.
Mm-hmm.
You be Durant, I'll be Curry, and we'll pick.
When the time comes, yeah, we could do that. Yeah.
Let's just say Curry. I feel like Curry and Durant are new captains.
Yeah, I agree.
Curry's definitely gonna pick Draymond unless Durant snakes him. But I feel like I feel like Curry really liked playing with LeBron.
I was gonna say I feel like whoever has first pick is gonna pick LeBron.
Yeah, and I feel like he's gonna go LeBron first to Curry if he gets first pick. And then Durant loves playing against KD, being Giannis, so I feel he's going to have Giannis on his own team.
Oh, yeah.
Because those two praise each other every time they verse in the East.
Yeah.
So it's going to be Curry, LeBron, Vince, KD, Giannis. And then, I don't know.
From there.
We'll from the time on, like, we don't know who the stars are going to be. I mean,
exactly.
We have a pretty good idea that, who the stars are going to be. DeRozan mm-hmm. should be a starter this year. If he's not a starter,
he has to be.
He's leading the Bulls team. They're first right now and he's up. He's top 10 MVP race right now. He should be top five, in my opinion.
Yeah.
right now, I think Curry still not holding up his position, but I feel like he struggled a bit past couple of games. Shooting horribly and putting up like 9 points, 14 points.
Yeah. He bounced back yesterday, but yeah, he was going through his worst stretch. Yeah, and it wasn't even a stretch. It was like 3 or 4 games, but
yeah. But, yeah. Though that stretch of 3 or 4 games definitely he's fell off that top five, and I feel like DeRozan sneaks in there, or even Ja, to be honest.
Ja, yeah, I agree.
But right now, they have Giannis leading, and then Durant's behind him.
Yeah.
I forget, you said third. You know, LeBron keep him being in the top five now after what he's been doing. I mean, yeah, like they said six, but he's still averaging.
He's 28. 20,
yeah. It's crazy, like, at his age, what he's doing.
LeBron, man. LeBron is averaging 29, 7, and 6.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So.
Jeez, yeah, he asked me in the conversation. I know Embiid's in the conversation.
Yeah, you could put Jokic there again.
Yep. I don't know. I feel like this year's going to be a tough race for MVP.
Yeah. I don't think Giannis should be first at all, be honest. I don't really see why he's first. I know, obviously, like, I realistically think it's between Durant, Curry, and Ja.
Okay.
But I feel like we could save that chat for another episode.
Yeah. After All-Star break, we'll talk. Because All-Star break, this is going to be good. You know, Clay, I don't think Clay's going to make the team. He shouldn't make the team. I feel like he's going to be in one of those competitions, three-point or
he could be. If he goes crazy this month, they'll probably throw him in.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, yeah. They have to. They have to.
Just for nostalgia.
Yeah, and just to get more views. Like, they have to. I think that was a lot of covering basketball. We'll hop over right now to I just want to give a round of applause. Arsenal in the month of December. Crazy month of December. We have two players up for nominees for play of the month. Martinelli and Odegaard. And Arteta's up for the coach of the month. I feel like Arsenal should win anything in the month of December. Arteta should win coach. I want to give it the player of the month to Martinelli. Even though Odegaard played very, very well in the December, Martinelli gave us goals when we needed goals. And I feel like we figured out, you know, now we can sell Aubameyang. We don't have to replace him. You know, Martinelli is our replacement. Now we can use that money to spend on a midfielder, a CDM or a center back or something.
I agree. I think the whole Uber scandal was kind of a blessing in disguise.
Yes.
For the team, showing like where we can go with what we have and then what we need to add, like you just said. I still think there's some glaring problems. There's not too many, but they are glaring enough that we have to mention. The first being Granit Xhaka.
Get him out of here.
He needs to go. He won't, because Arteta loves him, but he cannot be your starting midfielder. Arsenal will never progress if Granit Xhaka is our starting midfielder. That's my opinion. We're so close to going to that like next level. We're still obviously levels off from the Man Cities, but we're definitely on the right direction. But with Xhaka in that team, we will not prosper because he's made too many mistakes. He's not disciplined enough. The red cards coming at the worst times. Like, he's just the tackles causing penalties. He's a hothead. He's not stable enough. So there's that. And then we also need cover for Partey. So I think we need to, and we're probably going to sell Elneny, and then we have three midfielders. We'll have Partey, Xhaka, and Lokonga. And Lokonga's still so young, so we're definitely going to need some reinforcements there. And then right back, Tomiyasu has been a gem, an absolute.
Oh, I love him.
I love him. This guy he can defend, he can attack with Xhaka. They've got a really good partnership. He's solid. He's never too wild. You know what I mean? He's just very composed. And he's played enough game against good players to where I can say, you know, that he's solid. So, but if he goes down, we're screwed. So we're going to need a replacement for him, like a backup for him. We're definitely going to need a backup for him. And then moving to the striker situation, I think we should go broke for a striker that could be at the club for like a 10 years. Because you've recognized how like we sign players a little, we sign strikers a little late. I feel like we signed Lacazette like 2 years late. We kind of signed Uber 2 years late. So kind of it subtracts from how long we need to have these players to take us to the next level. So I really like the whole Saka, Odegaard, Martinelli, but we could even try Saka, Odegaard, Smith Rowe, and then you put Martinelli up front. I want to see that combination to see how it works. But it's also good to have options as well, because Odegaard won't start every game. You can switch him out with Smith Rowe. You know what I mean? So that's their competition between them, and that's what it should be like. But if we can sign a solid striker like Vlahovic or Isak, I'm praying for Haaland, but it won't happen. But that, because all those guys are so young, that could carry us for that next, you know, 8 to 10 years. That's what I think we need. I don't want to get a 28-year-old striker. You know what I mean? I don't want that. I want someone who's young but established that can help grow with this team, like Saka, Odegaard, Martinelli, you know, Tierney, Tomiyasu, Gabriel, Ben White, like Ramsdale. You see, like, we have so many players that are going to grow within the team. If we could just add a striker on top of that and get rid of Saka, I think we'll be neat.
Yeah, I was literally just looking at transfer news for Arsenal when you were talking about it. Vlahovic or whatever, I don't know how to pronounce his name. He's 21. He's young. And I know we are strongly linked with Isak, but so are Newcastle. Newcastle trying to come in here and sweep that. You know, getting those, I feel like I want Isak more than I want Vlahovic or whatever. Vlasovic, whatever his name is.
Definitely.
You know, he's, I don't think, what is he, like 6'4" or something. I feel like he's going to be that guy we can, in the box, you know, just a better version of Olivier Giroud, you know, just a guy who can get his head in the ball, back of the net if you need to when the ball's in the air. But he also, he showed in the Euros what he could do with his ball control. He had a beautiful goal for Sweden against someone. He performed well in the Euros. He's performing well in the Liga. So definitely him. I would love to have him in the club. You know, have that switch around with Martinelli and, you know, Lacazette. If we do keep Lacazette, which I don't think we will, but if we do, we got the veterancy who can teach these young players. You know, I think Martinelli's been under the wing of Lacazette and Aubameyang long enough. Now he's shown what he's capable of. He's got the speed. He's got everything else. Just having the other striker once we sell Aubameyang. But we need to sell Aubameyang first to even get any of these players. That's when we first target. Our first move is in the next transfer window is Aubameyang has to go. Sell him for anywhere between like 50 to 60 mil. Maybe not even that. Just get him out of there. Have the money to sign, because I think Vlasovic, we're looking at 17 mil. I think that was her bid for Florentina. We get him or we get Isak, hopefully Isak though. Then a striker's set. I do agree with Xhaka. He needs to go. Partey, he's had on and off games. He's not really consistent right now. I feel like he needs to find his form.
Mm-hmm.
Xhaka, I've been saying it forever. I don't like him. He has to go. He's like a Sergio Ramos in the midfield. He's gotta go. Defense, I'm surprisingly happy with. I do like our fullbacks. You know, Tierney, Tomiyasu, Nuno Tavares.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm happy with those guys. You know, we just loaned out Maitland-Niles to Roma.
Mm-hmm.
For six months, I think. Ben White starting to come into form. Gabriel has has had some shaky games, but more better games than shaky games. Goalkeeper, we don't really have to discuss. Ramsdale is our keeper for the future. We have to really don't have to worry about that. I feel like it's time to let go of Nketiah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, like, you know, I do like him, but I think it's time to let go of Nketiah. And all those young players we've had in the club for years, like Reece Nelson, you know, we just let go of Joe Willock, finally, to Newcastle. Start to sell those players, you know, they're not seeing time. So, Nketiah, I'll be happy to let him go. Reece Nelson, let him go. Maitland-Niles, let him go. If we do get back, you know, Cedric Soares, we can let him go. Bellerin, sell him. But yeah, you know, other than that, though, we've been looking good. You know, disappointing loss against Man City, though, in December, which was tough. You know, 2-1 defeat. And then we took a loss against Nottingham Forest in the FA Cup. That one kind of stung a bit.
Disappointing.
But yeah, very disappointing. Especially with the players we had, you know, we had, you know, our reserves and our substitutions playing, but we also had our starter players playing as well. You know, Ødegaard was playing, Lacazette was playing. We had a couple, I think Saka came into the game. Disappointing loss against Nottingham Forest, but as long as we still get into the Champions League or Europa League, I'm happy. Don't really care. More Champions League than Europa League. But I feel like if you do make the Champions League, we have to get some big player in the club, because I don't feel this team is Champions League ready.
Definitely not.
Okay. I don't know if you ever were different, but this team, I don't think it's Champions League ready.
I think if we get Champions League, he's going to have to add a lot more, because the Champions League, you need a bench. You need a strong bench. You know what I mean? Some teams have like two teams, you know what I mean? How City and Liverpool could kind of rotate, just because their bench is so strong, but Chelsea too. Well, it's a good thing to have options. There's nothing wrong with having options. I felt like at Arsenal for so long, we've just had like a starting lineup and two good players off the bench, or one good player off the bench, and that's all we have. But because our team is younger, I think it invites more competition. So it makes it easier to kind of have like a bigger squad and people are fighting for positions. So it's looking good. The month of December was very good to us. You know, it was tough to lose to City. I feel like we played amazing, but it just showed how far we've come. Because I actually thought we were gonna get like destroyed. I thought we were gonna get ripped to shreds. But it was promising. We got a game on Thursday against Liverpool. I don't know what to expect. I don't know what to expect.
At least you have two legs. That's all that matters. We have two legs with Liverpool, so like it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
You know, I did predict us to win against Man City. I think in episode 8 or 9.
Yep.
I predicted a 3-0 win over Man City. You know, I would have been happy with a tie. Fortunately, we had to let one in the 90th minute. Liverpool, I'll make a prediction here. It's gonna be 3-2 game Arsenal, first aggregate. And then the second aggregate, we're gonna tie. We're gonna go to shootout, so I'm gonna win. That's that, and then we're gonna go on to the finals against Chelsea
and lose.
No, and at the end, at two aggregates, it's gonna be 6-0.
That was too accurate.
I just want silverware. I just want some sort of silverware before the season, before the end of January. That's all I want.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, if so, now that we're out of the FA Cup, right? If
I don't want, yeah, that's whatever.
We have the Carabao Cup and the league. If Liverpool knock us out, just say if, we have to make top four.
Yes.
Because, like, there's no excuse. There is no, like, we have to make top four. I think it's, yes. I think it's solidified that we'll make Europe, but we have to make top four because then we just focus on the league. Teams are going to be tired. We should be fresh and ready to go every single game. So, but obviously, if we get, you know, the Carabao Cup and the league, then that, I mean, and top four, sorry, that's a very successful season for Arteta. I would be pleased with that. But we'll see. If he just wins the Carabao Cup and we finish fifth, is that acceptable for you?
I mean, like, I'll take it. I won't be, like, you know, pleased, but I also won't be disappointed. You know, at least we have some silverware, at least. And we also have a shot to, you know, and now we're going to get back into the big tournament. I feel like this team is definitely, if we do make Europa, this team is definitely Europa League ready. I feel like this team, you know, we had a lot of experience with the Europa League with this team before, or as core players of this league, of this team. So I think we're definitely Europa League ready. If you make top four, I'll be ecstatic. But we just need the a person or not a player that can come in and solidify us as a Champions League team ready. Because as you said, like, a lot of these teams have substitutions, and our best substitution right now is Smith Rowe. Like, he's our super sub. We have a lot of subs, but we don't have developed enough. We don't have enough developed players coming off the bench. As you said, we have a lot of young people, so we need developed, experienced players coming off the bench to help us out. But you know, I won't be mad, but also won't be happy if we win the Carabao Cup and get Europa League, because I feel like the team, we can run through Europa League.
Yeah, I agree. I think, yeah, that you put it the best way there. So I have nothing to add to that statement. We are, you know, on the finishing end of the podcast for this episode. Do you have any final question?
You know, I was thinking about the final question to pick, you know, do our all-star teams, but we really, really ran through that. I don't know. I got nothing. You know, I feel like we're scratching over the hour, because I think we started like a 10:57, or we maybe just be at an hour now. So, and final question, I got nothing here for this one, for this episode, you know, just because I feel like we had so much of catching up to do. We talked a lot about basketball and soccer, so.
I think
we save it in the next episode, just because this episode is just kind of catching up over the last month we missed.
Mm-hmm.
Just getting everything back into what it's called, it's back in order, so back in the flow.
Yes, sir. Okay, sounds good.
All right, I think that's it. Episode 10 in the books. We'll see you for episode 11 next week, Tuesday, 2 p.m. Tune in. I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about. We'll definitely talk about the Arsenal game,
definitely.
That's Thursday. And then I'll come back, and my prediction will be correct. It will be 3-2. The Lakers will jump into the top three.
This guy's dreaming. Thank you guys for listening, and we will see you next week.
All right, take it easy.
Yes, sir.